Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. This is God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, "Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse." My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voices in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you've ever tried to do something and you weren't sure exactly how, and someone else came along and said, "Hey, I've done that before. Do you want me to show you how?" And you're like, no, I'll figure it out. You need to pay attention to this. If you think It's just better for you to do it on your own. You don't want input. Why read the directions? I'll figure it out. If you've ever put something together and then wondered what those extra parts were for, this is for you, okay? If you're someone who finds it hard to accept direction, I have had a bunch of kids that I've raised, and one of them, while listening to the Proverbs, heard that the wise person appreciates correction. And from that point on, that child made it a point, when corrected, to say thank you. First time it happened, I was utterly shocked. That was not the response I was used to getting. But wisdom comes to those who want wisdom. Our main point today is verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is to say, the first most basic thing you've got to learn is the fear of the Lord. We have a culture that doesn't fear God at all. We have a culture that thinks it is foolish to fear God, when in fact it is the epitome, the zenith of foolishness, not to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom and discipline. God is the creator of all things. If we put anything else as more important than Him, that is crazy. In Romans chapter 1, we read, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. They thought they had it figured out. They thought they had a better way. Our first parents were created by God and put in a paradise that had been created by God. And when Satan shows up as a serpent and tempts them, instead of realizing, okay, this is a part of the creation, not the creator, why would I listen to him instead of to God? No, our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided to do what the serpent said. And catastrophe was the result. And by the way, that catastrophe was exactly what God had told them would happen. Because God always tells the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. You and I are given God's word so that we can learn what pleases Him. So that we can discover that we've got a problem. And discover that God has provided a solution. In Proverbs 1, introducing the book of Proverbs, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. These have a purpose for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. The purpose is not just to improve your mind. The purpose is to instruct you so that you will do what is right and just and fair. This will give prudence, that is wisdom, to the simple. You don't have to be brilliant to be wise. You don't have to have a super high IQ. You may sit there and say, well, you know, I'm actually extremely bright. You may not know this, Pastor Wood, but my testing shows that I'm a very intelligent person. You can be extremely intelligent and an utter fool. I've met more than a few. History has displayed more than a few. But you may also be sitting there and saying, golly, if this is about learning and instruction, I'm just not good at that, okay? I'm not very bright. Guess what? You don't have to be. You can be really simple and still learn this. It starts, wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. But fools haven't been taught that yet. Is that what it says? No. Verse 7, fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so then the first thing that he tries to tell his son after that, beginning in verse 8, is listen and don't forsake what you're being taught by your parents, because those truths will make your life enormously better. And if someone tries to entice you, to tempt you and get you to do bad stuff, don't do it. You actually can say no. Did you know that? One of the most important words that you will ever learn is one that is very special to two-year-olds. When a child turns two, they discover the word no, because it's something that's being said to them as they're beginning to go out and do foolish things. And the adults will say to them, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. And after a while, the kid discovers that word has power. And so they begin saying to the adults who are telling them to do something, no. Because they're trying to become these little autonomous beings. And guess what? You can't let a two-year-old get away with that, or they will think they are in charge of their world. And they're not. They're only 2 years old. They don't know what they need to know. The word no, N-O, is a very important word, but you got to know when to say it and to whom. You don't just say it whenever you feel like, I don't want to do that. Well, you need to do this. No, that's not wisdom. That's more foolishness. But when sin comes knocking at your door, when people are trying to tempt you to do things you shouldn't do and you know you shouldn't do it, that's the time to bring out that little word and say it with force. No, not going to go there, not going to do that. And the person I have to say it to is me. Because sometimes I want to do stuff I shouldn't. Now, when someone tries to tempt you to do something wrong, even if it's you that's tempting you to do something wrong, say no. Just say no. Actually, you can. No, I just can't resist that. I knew a guy, Harold Bucell, wrote a book. He said, I can resist anything except temptation. That was the title of his book. But some of us feel that way, you know? It's like, well, you know, if I don't want to, I won't do it. Well, oh, wow. Way to go, fella. But the fact is, you and I all are going to face temptation, and when we do, we need to learn to say no. And one of the things he tells his son about how to be able to resist is to realize what ends up happening to those who give in. He says, you would not spread a net in view of the birds in order to try and capture birds. Because even little birds with little brains are smart enough not to go over and get in the net. And he says, but these people who are bent on violence are not as smart as a bird. Because they're doing something that in the end will destroy them. Did you know that in the end sin will destroy you? It will destroy you. And he gives an example in verse 19. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. The more literal translation would say, who tries to heap up money that's obtained in the wrong way. Say, man, we get a chance to get rich if we do this, if we knock over that bank, if we rob this person, if we break into that house, if we sell these drugs, if we lie on this form, if we're gonna get so much money. He says, anybody who does that, and this is God talking here, anybody who does that is going to be destroyed. God promises to destroy them. And God keeps his promises. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Let me just tell you something. I've seen people do that. I've seen people destroy themselves with drugs. I've seen people destroy their minds. I've seen people ruin their lives with alcohol. Why would you want to throw your life away for something that absolutely cannot satisfy? Don't do it. Say no. You can say no. What about going after money? You cannot serve God and money. Jesus said that. If your goal in life is to get rich, you are headed for hell. Well, I think you can be a Christian and be rich. I know you can. I was thinking this morning about a guy named Alan Emery who wrote a book, Turtle on a Fence Post. The old saying is, if you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. Okay? And he said, my life, he's an extremely successful man. He said, my life is the story of a turtle on a fence post. I've been very successful, but I had a huge head start in my career. His father was extremely wealthy. The easiest way to make $10 million is to inherit two. If you inherit a bunch of money, it's easier to multiply it. And he tells the story in the book of how his father said, son, get in the car. There's something I want to show you. And he drove him down to the yacht basin in Hingham, Massachusetts, and he pointed to a beautiful, beautiful boat out in the harbor there. And he said, what do you think of that boat? The boy said, wow, I think that's the most beautiful boat I've seen. And he said, well, good, because it's yours. The boy said, really? He said, yes, that's your birthday present. But now, son, the boy was 17 years old. He said, son, there is no excuse for why every member of the senior class in your high school should not hear the gospel on that boat. And sure enough, during the course of the senior year, Alan invited every single member of the senior class, one or two at a time, to go sailing with him. And while they were sailing, Alan would share the gospel with them. You can be rich and be godly. But if you're godly, your goal is not to be rich. It's to use the riches that God entrusts to you for his glory. You can be a famous athlete. I've known some really remarkable athletes. Paul Byrd, a pitcher for various teams, including the Boston Red Sox. Paul Byrd would tell you, the one thing that matters is your relationship with the Lord. And if your goal is to be a great athlete so that people will know you're great, you're on your way to hell. But if your goal is to be the best athlete you can be in hopes that you'll be able to have more people listen when you talk to them about the fact that your life is really all about Jesus, not about this sport or that sport, then good. Leverage your athletic ability. Leverage your musical ability. Leverage your academic success for the glory of God. But if your goal is self-advancement, It's all in vain. It's all in vain. And then the warning comes. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Now, why does he list all those places that wisdom does this? Because he's saying, you don't have to go to a special location to find wisdom. Wisdom is wherever you are. Wisdom will speak to you in public and call to you and appeal to you to learn more and to do the right thing. But the problem is people's response to wisdom is to say, no thanks, no, don't want to hear it, don't want to hear it, no, leave me alone, I don't believe that stuff. And that's why most people are on the road that leads to destruction. Pastor Wood, I wish you wouldn't be so judgmental. Why do you say most people are on the road that leads to destruction? I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. So if you don't like that message, don't blame the messenger. Jesus is the one who said it. But here's the thing. The one who said it, Jesus, gave his life to rescue foolish people like you and me. He doesn't just tell us we're going the wrong way. He calls to us to repent and trust in him. Jesus came to save sinners. So you qualify. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be powerful or talented. So, Pastor Wood, you say we can use our intelligence, we can use our athletic ability, our musical ability. I don't think I really have any of that. If you have Jesus, he can use you in a powerful way. One of my favorite testimonies to share is a dear Jewish friend in New England who grew up extremely wealthy, married her childhood sweetheart, had three lovely daughters, lived in a beautiful home with a nice pool in the yard, nice cars in the garage, her husband a successful attorney in Boston. I mean, life is good. She didn't have to clean her own house. She had a cleaning lady come do that. But one day she asked the cleaning lady a question. She said, how come I've got everything and I'm miserable? And you've got nothing. And you always seem joyful. And the cleaning lady turned to her and said, oh, well, that's because of Jesus. And shared the gospel with this Jewish princess. Wendy gave her life to Christ. Well, let me just tell you something. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be super talented. I don't know what you've got, but I plead with you. Give it all to Jesus. That's wisdom. And you'll be glad you did.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.